This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We are on a series of grace. Can somebody say grace? And I'm telling you, it's the grace of God that's going to help us make it in this life. And you can't do it without the grace of God. You've got to have the grace of God to be an overcomer. And God wants us to be overcomers in this life. He doesn't want the devil overcoming us. He doesn't want life. God doesn't want life overcoming us. You know, sometimes we have hard days. No, God wants us to be overcomers. And God's, can I get out of my seat, man? I'm getting out early. God's grace will help you to be an overcomer. Do you believe that today? I'm going to say this. In Christ and in grace, there's no losers. I'm not looking at any losers this morning. I'm not looking at any losers in the camera, glory to God. If you're watching me, you are a winner, glory to God. And you're learning to win in this life. And God's grace, you know, I said this last week, God's grace gives us opportunity and it gives us ability. So the opportunity, you know, is God knocking the door on our hearts, and our ability is us opening the door to God's grace. Amen. So he doesn't just give us just opportunity, he gives us ability. And that ability helps us to do the impossible. Jesus said, if you only believe, you will see the impossible. And I'm looking at people this morning that will walk in the impossible. And these grace messages are going to bring you to the next level where I believe I'm training you to be water walkers. I'm preaching today. Water walkers in Jesus. That means you can defy the odds. The odds might be against you. It may look like this, you're never going to be set free, or you're never going to obtain some things in God. Even if the odds are against you, God's grace is bigger, and God's grace will always go against the odds that's going against you. Amen. Do you believe that today? So God's grace, God, G-R-A-C-E. Give me a G. No, I'm kidding. Give me an R. God's riches at Christ's expense. So grace is God riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. And so that's everything that God has done and everything that God has is really, it's available for us. Say, I can receive it all. And so in Acts 4:32, let's look at this because this is our main text. And this is powerful because I believe that God's bringing the church back into a place of power and victory. Do you believe that today? And the early church walked in power and victory. Let's look at this. It says in Acts 4:32 and 33, it says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I love that. And so we see here, and I mentioned this last week, that great grace and great power go hand in hand. And what is God's power designed to do? God's grace and his power is designed to set us free from every bondage of the evil one. Today, in other words, from who the Son has set free is free indeed. And so we have the power to walk in freedom from anything the enemy that will try to put on our lives. I talked about in the first session, and I feel really led to focus on this, is that in the first session I talked about that, and it says here, they were, the multitude, all believed, were in one heart and one soul. And that gives us a clue. If they were in one heart and one soul, Do you know that when the Holy Spirit came into the church the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they were in one accord. The Holy Spirit invaded the church. It took them, they were in the upper room. Remember, the disciples were in the upper room reading the book of Acts. Jesus said, go, do not leave Jerusalem until you are empowered from on high. And then they went to the upper room for 10 days. I don't know why 10 days, but for 10 days. Well, 10 is a number of tests. Amen. So 10 days is a testing time. Amen. It's test. The 10 plagues, you know, in Egypt, the test. Amen. The tithe, 10% is the test. Amen. And so for 10 days, are you hearing what I'm saying? They waited, but I believe it took 10 days for them to get into really unity in the Spirit. And when they got into unity, guess what happened? The Holy Spirit empowered the church. And I'm going to say this, what is the devil trying to do in the last days? He's trying to cause division and disunity. He's trying to cause division between us and God by us walking in sin. And when we walk in sin, we're walking in rebellion. And when we're walking in rebellion, we're walking against God. And I don't want to be rebellious. I want to be obedient. Glory to God. And so we need to get in unity with the Father, and we need to get in unity with one another. And sin in our life will always cause division to come about in our life with God. And eventually, sin in our life will cause us to have division between other people. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And no man's an island. You don't sin on it. If you're sinning in the church, it affects the church. I'm preaching to somebody today. Amen. Amen. I like to say, when I'm pointing one finger at you, I have three fingers pointing back at me. I'm preaching to myself as well. Amen. And so I love this. It says that they were at one heart and one soul, and they were in unity. And unity is the key to the commanded blessing. Amen. And so they were in one heart and one soul, and neither anyone had said that they had the things that they possessed were their own, but they had all things in common, which means they were open to giving some of their stuff away. Oh, what, Pastor, that's going a little wild. Has God ever moved on you to give something away to somebody in the church? Has God ever moved on you to maybe give an offering or tithe and move on your heart so that you can be a blessing, glory to God? And so this is what we do. We, in the church, we're for God, but we're for each other. Amen. I'm going to say again, we don't go against people. No. We are for people, glory to God. We don't cause division. No, we're peacemakers. Amen. And we got to be peacemakers. Somebody say, I'm a peacemaker. Amen. And so I talked about in the first session that God's grace is the key, is loving God and loving people. You can't, you know, keep from preaching that message. We need somebody say, love God and love people. And we need to love God. Remember I talked about that loving God is keeping His commandments. Some people say, well, I love God. But if you're living like the devil, I don't know if you really love God. Amen. If you're living your life not the way God wants you to live it, then I'm not too sure if you truly love God. You might love yourself more than you love God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the end days, people will be lovers of themselves. And they won't be lovers of God, which means they put themselves first. But this church, if you're in this church, my people put God first. Amen. Say, I'm putting God first. And so we need to do that. And in Deuteronomy 11:1, it says, therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep charge of His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments always. Now the Lord revealed this to the Israelites. You know, the Ten Commandments is for the Israelites, and you can say, well, that's for the Israelites, that's not for me. No, because the Ten Commandments was brought into the New Testament as well. The same 10 commandments that they abide by, we have to abide by. Amen. What, Pastor? Are you serious? That's Old Testament law. Listen, God gave them the 10 commandments, and the law required them to obey. Get this. Listen to what I'm saying. The law required the Old Testament people to obey, but grace empowers us to obey. The law requires obedience, but grace empowers obedience. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. See, when you put a law on yourself, I'm not going to eat ice cream anymore. You're going to be eating it tonight. I'm not going to do this anymore. You're putting a law in place. And when you put a law in your life, you want to break the law. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? But when you ask God to help you not to eat any ice cream, when you ask God to help you not to go in areas that are destructive and that will destroy your life and your family's life, when you ask God to help you, then that's grace empowering you. And what some of us are trying to do is we're trying to help ourselves. We're trying to do it in our own power and in our own strength. And there's no grace trying to do it in our own power, in our own strength, or trying to fight our battles by ourselves. No, we need help. Amen. Say, I need some help. Amen. We all need each other. We need accountability. We need to make sure that we're walking right before the Lord. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so it's the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. And God's grace empowers us to obey. And I talked about this in my first session, that the first five commandments of the Ten Commandments has to do with our relationship with God. And I'm going to say this to you this morning. Your relationship with God is the most important thing that you possess. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Your relationship with God is the most important thing you possess in this life. God said eternal life. You know what God said what eternal life is? It's not getting a glorified body and living in heaven. Most people say, well, eternal life is living forever. No, eternal life is knowing God. Amen. It's knowing God. It's not living, because you know what? Sinners live forever. Living forever in hell. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Eternal life is not just living forever, because we're all going to live forever. And you're going to either live in heaven with God or in hell with the devil. And that's the truth. And so help me, God. I'm going to speak the truth. Amen. There's people going to heaven every day, and there's people going to hell every day. And my job is to keep you from going to hell. My job is to keep you and to watch over your souls. Why am I called as a pastor to watch over your souls? Because the devil's out here to lead some of you astray, to try to get you out in the darkness, to try to destroy your lives. And my messages hopefully will make you, some of you messages, if you're feeling fear, should bring comfort in your life. And some of you that don't have some fear should make you uncomfortable. What do I mean by not have any fear? No reverential fear of God, of the actions that you do that can come against Him, and you don't think it makes a difference. It makes a difference. Amen. We need to make sure that our actions are lining up with walking in the love of God. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. Man, this feels like a Wednesday night service. Glory to God. Amen. Lord, and so we're talking about the first five commandments dealing with our relationship with God. And I'm going to say this, grace of God doesn't work very well if we're putting other things before God. God is supposed to be the most important relationship, and God doesn't want you putting anything before Him. Amen. In other words, we're not supposed to have any idols in our lives. Can I get a witness and I'll say, do you know what the world is making idols in their lives? Now I'm getting serious. The world is making sex and how they do sex an idol in their life. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? You see these colorful flags called gay pride, and they are celebrating these things that they do as something that makes them who they are. Your sex life doesn't make you who you are. God makes you who you are. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And I wouldn't be celebrating something that's so ungodly that will send many of those people, all those people, to hell if they don't repent and get Jesus in their life. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And it's called pride, Pride Month. And pride will take the P off, will take you on a ride, R-I-D-E. And the middle letter of pride is I. It's not God. It's I. And we got to be very careful that we're not walking in pride thinking that we know better than God. No, God knows better than us. Can I get a witness in the house today? The day that I smartened up was the day that I realized God was smarter than me. When you realize God is smarter than you, then you're going to wake up. But when you think, oh, no, I can handle my life. I can do whatever I want. I can live my life as I choose to live it. Then you're living separate from God's ways and His decrees, and it can cause destruction in your lives. Amen. Has anybody ever went their own merry way? And then you reap the whirlwind? Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So people are making sex their God. Number two, people are making drugs their God. You know, they're substituting the peace and the joy of God for drugs. They're taking marijuana and now it's being legalized. Well, it's legal now. That means I can do it. Well, it doesn't mean it's legal in the Bible. Amen. Well, God created it, so shouldn't I be using it? No. Yeah, it might be a medical use of it, somebody said, but if you're using it for recreational purposes or to escape this world or escape this life, you don't escape to drugs, you escape into God. Amen. You don't live in a fantasy world, and the devil wants you living in the matrix of a fantasy world. And some of you might need to get out of that matrix and get into the real world of the spiritual life that we walk in. The things of the Spirit is more real than the things of this natural life. God's Word is more real than what's going on in this life.
Amen.
Amen. And so people are turning to drugs, and you need to be turning to God. People are turning to alcohol. They're going to alcohol trying to get peace, and you're not going to get peace in alcohol. You can only get it through JC and not JD. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? I need a nightcap. No, you need Jesus. You need some prayer. Some people say, it's okay. It's legal to drink. The Bible doesn't come against it. Yeah, but if you can't handle it, then you can't control it, then you've got a problem. And it's illegal for you. Now, for the person that's drinking a glass of wine, you know, they call them sipping saints. Sipping saints. I'm not a sipping saint.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because I came out of that world. I came out of the world of drinking and partying and drugs. And I'm not going back into that world.
Amen.
That world is a losing world. And people that get drunk and get high and all that, they will end up having problems. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life. There's no grace in doing these things. God's grace is not in you doing stuff like this. What you're doing is you're destroying yourself, you're destroying your relationship with God, and you're destroying your relationship with other people. And it's serious. Our sins put Jesus on the cross. And we got to get serious about sin in our lives. There's not enough preaching. that condemns sin in people's lives, but I'm condemning sin because the Bible says if you go on sinning, you're crucifying Jesus all over again. I want to live right for God. I don't want to be living in a fantasy world, living according to my rules. No, you live according to God's rules. So the number one sin that we can fall into is idolatry. And idolatry is worshiping something other than God. People, again, are worshiping sex, drugs, and alcohol. They're worshiping themselves. And we need to be worshiping God. Amen? Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? You give the devil an inch, and he will take a mile. You give the devil a little bit to work with, and he will take that, and it will be a seed that will grow, and he will take what you give him, and he will take it to destroy your lives, to destroy your relationship with God and your relationship with the people you love. You know, they say addicts. People that are addicted to stuff, they cause pain not only in themselves, but they cause pain to everybody around them. They hurt everybody else around them. And it's an indictment. You don't live unto yourself. We are connected to one another. Your sin makes a difference and it affects other people. In Titus 2:11-14, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Think about this. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we need to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And it says that we should live, somebody say soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Amen. And he said, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. In other words, we're saved for good works and not for evil works. I'm preaching today. So I'm saying this, that if you want to keep the grace of God, because my title of my sermon is Keep the Grace of God in Your Life. And if you want to keep the grace of God in your life, you need to do a couple things here. First of all, the grace of God empowers you to live a sober life. The devil wants us to be intoxicated with sinful vices and his lies. The devil's trying to intoxicate some of us through drugs, through sex, through alcohol. He wants to intoxicate us. Amen. Why? Because the devil wants to dumb us down. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I'm not going to be dumbed down by the devil. I'm not going to be foolish and enter into these sins that will destroy my life. Are you allowing sinful pleasures in this life to intoxicate you from the love, joy, and peace of God that he wants to give you, and he wants to give that to you through a fruitful relationship with him? Amen. You know, the Bible talks about this, that Jesus is coming back. Somebody say, Jesus is coming back. But he's coming back for a spotless church. He's not coming back for a backslidden church. I'm preaching to somebody today. He's not coming back for the backslider. What do you mean, the backslider? You mean that I can go back, I can backslide in my walk with God? Yes. How do I backslide, Pastor? Stop going to church. Stop reading the Bible. Stop praying. Separate yourself from people that love God. That's how you can backslide. Start depending on yourself and your money. That's how you backslide. Start walking in darkness. That's how you backslide. You can backslide as a Christian. Amen. And Jesus is not coming back for the backslider. Remember the Bible says Jesus is coming back for the five virgins that had their oil filled. There were 10 virgins. 10 virgins mean 10 church people. But five of them didn't make it. Why? Because they didn't have their oil filled. Why? Because they were walking in probably sins of the flesh that was keeping them from being filled with the Spirit of God. Listen, you can't dance with the devil and dance with Jesus at the same time. That's a good tweet. You can't dance with the devil and dance with Jesus at the same time. You better pick one or the other. Amen? So I love that. Let's look at a familiar passage, and this is powerful. And this is one of my favorite grace. You ready for a grace passage this morning? You ready for one of the greatest grace passages in the Bible? You ready for it? It's John 3:16. One of the greatest passages in the Bible, and I call it the grace passage. It says, "For God so loved the world." You'd be surprised how many people don't know this scripture. And I'm telling you, if you're a Christian, you should have this scripture memorized. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm going to say this, should not perish, but have everlasting life. The default of people, if they don't receive Jesus, is an eternity in hell separated from God. I'm going to say that again. The default in people's lives, if they don't receive Jesus, then if you don't receive Christ, the alternative is hell. What, Pastor? Listen, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Right. And we got to understand this, that we're here to pray for people, to witness, and keep people from going to hell. Amen. Hell is a real place, and real people are going there every day. And we need to be there to keep people from going there. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. And it says it should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God is not condemning you this morning. He's trying to say to you, look up, for your redemption draws near. He's saying here, look to me. Don't look to yourself. Don't look inside. Look upward. Amen? He's saying, look to me, and I can bring you into victory. And so he says here, now, why do people that hear the truth of God's word, amen, why don't they receive Christ? We're going to go into that a little bit. Why do people reject the goodness of God? Why do people reject the grace of God? You know, I'm going to say this, and some preachers have gotten popular in preaching the gospel of grace. But I'm going to have to say to you that that's a misnomer. It's not the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of grace and truth. Amen. The gospel of grace and truth. It's not just gospel of grace only, because it makes it lopsided. The gospel of grace all depends on God. But the gospel of truth, we makes us have some responsibility. And so the gospel of grace, sometimes you hear the words grace, well, I don't have to do nothing. God can do it all for me. I have no responsibility. No, listen, you got some responsibility. The gospel of grace and the gospel of truth. See, listen, the lady that was caught in adultery, she was thrown before Jesus, and the law said stone her. And then Jesus said, he without sin throw the first stone. And they all left, from the eldest to the youngest. And she and Jesus were the only one there. And Jesus said, where are your accusers? That's the grace of God. Jesus said, neither I condemn you. That's the grace. But the truth is, Jesus said something else. What did he say? He said, go and sin no more. Amen. See, there's grace and then there's truth. And it's not just the gospel of grace, it's the gospel of grace and truth. And grace without truth is meaningless. Amen? And truth without grace is mean. Amen? Is that right? Truth without grace is mean. Grace without truth is meaningless. But grace and truth will bring you into the goodness of God. Remember John 1:17? It says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Jesus brought grace and he brought truth. Amen? So it's not just the gospel of grace, it's the gospel of grace and truth. Now let's look at this statement here in John 3:18 through 20. It says, "He who believes in him," this is continuing on from 3:16, "he who believes in him," talking about Jesus, "he who believes in Jesus is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practices evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed." So that, now, this is what I'm saying to you today. Why don't some people receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Why? Because they love the deeds of darkness. They love their sinful life more than they love God. They love doing drugs. They love drinking alcohol. They love their sex life more than they love God. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And they don't want to come to God because if they come to God, it might make them change. Yeah. What, Pastor? You mean coming to God could cause me to change my lifestyle? Well, yeah. Coming to God, you should change your lifestyle. Your life should radically change. Hallelujah. It should be different. You should be looking like Jesus. Amen? And so it says here that everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. We should have some remorse about our sins. Yeah, I'm going to say it again. We should have some shame. There's no shame in people's game anymore. People aren't shameful of their sins anymore. They're not ashamed of doing wrong. And I'm telling you, you should be ashamed if you do something wrong. You should be embarrassed when you do the wrong things. Oh, you hear what I'm saying to you today? So I love this. It says here in Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." So here it's saying here that God's judgment, now this is the opposite of God's grace, will come upon those people that suppress the truth of God's word, which means they don't want to look at it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen to a gospel message. They don't want to read the Bible. Why? Because it can show up some of their evil ways, and it can cause them to feel bad about how they live their life. And hopefully God's word, if you're doing the wrong things, should cause you to feel bad about living that way. Hello. Oh, you hear what I'm saying to you today? So let's look at this, because God wants to sober some of us up, and the devil wants us to be drunk or intoxicated with the world's devices. In Galatians 5:19 and 21, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and are like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, you know, when you read this, this is a long list. And these are called sins of the flesh. And these are sins that we don't want to be walking in. And these are sins that we should be making sure that we're every day. Listen, if you want to stay close to God, be quick to believe, amen, quick to forgive, and quick to repent. If you want to stay close to God, amen. And again, what I said at the very beginning of this message, the most valuable, most important thing you possess in God is your relationship with God, and you don't want to lose it. You don't want to lose what you've got. You don't want to lose the grace of God in your life. I don't want to do that. I want to stay as close to God as possible. And these things right here, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, dissensions, drunkenness, can cause you to miss heaven and end up in hell. I didn't write it. Paul did, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to say this. Sins can send people to hell. It's sending the unbeliever to hell. And it can keep Jesus from picking you up. Amen. And I don't want to be stuck down here in the 7-year tribulation. I want to make sure that I'm a person without spot or wrinkle, full of love and faith, doing the works of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. And so we have the power, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to escape. Amen. I love what it says in Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Notice that. We're called to liberty, but don't use your liberty as an opportunity to sin. But through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. What is the enemy doing in these end days? He's trying to cause division. He's trying to get us upset with one another. He's trying to get us criticizing one another. And he says then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What is Paul saying here? He's saying in these passages, don't use the grace of God for an opportunity for you to sin. But you allow the grace of God to work in your life so you can be a blessing to people and not a curse. And then he says, allow the grace of God to work in your life to be so filled with the Spirit of God, you're not even going to come close to sinning or doing the wrong things or doing things that will hurt God's heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I don't want to hurt God's heart. I don't want to crucify Jesus all over again with a sin that I keep doing over and over. That's practicing sin. You got to be careful with practicing sin. Saints don't practice sin. We practice righteousness. Number two, God's grace empowers us, amen, to live righteously. His grace empowers us. We have the grace, we have what I call grace righteousness. What is grace righteousness? Well, grace righteousness is that we have right standing positionally with God the Father because of the blood of Jesus. So you are in right standing because of blood. You have positionally, you have grace righteousness. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus became sin so that we can be right. You have positional righteousness, but you also have to have conduct righteousness. What, Pastor? What do you mean conduct righteousness? That means how you conduct your life. You need to live your life righteously. Can I get a witness in the house today? In Psalms 15:1-5, it says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly, say walk uprightly, and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take a reproach against his friend. Think about it. This is all relational stuff. He doesn't backbite with his tongue. He speaks truth in his heart. Amen. He does no evil to his neighbor. He takes no reproach against his friend. In whose eyes, a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. We're not called to condemn people in the church. We're called to honor one another. Amen. He says, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he does not put his own money out of usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. So what am I saying to you today? I'm saying that God gives us positional righteousness because of the blood, but we still have to have conduct righteousness in our life. The Bible says, you know, rejoice when people do wrong things to you or when you encounter problems because you're walking right. But he says, but if you encounter problems because you're walking wrong, then that's God's judgment on your life. Oh, you hear what I'm saying to you then? Amen. And so God's grace empowers us, amen, to live righteously. God's grace empowers us to live soberly. And God's grace empowers us to live godly. I'm going to say it again. God's grace empowers us to live godly. What is living godly, you might ask? Well, first of all, we live and act like God. Somebody say, act like God. In Psalms 145, 8 and 9, it says, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So if the Lord is gracious, and he is full of compassion, and he's slow to anger, and he's great in mercy, how much should we be like that? The Bible says we need to be slow to wrath, quick to hear, and slow to wrath, slow to speak, and quick to hear. We need to be quick to hear God's word. We need to be slow to wrath and slow to speak, glory to God. And we tend to get angry and upset, and we harbor ill will and bitterness, and we can't allow that in our lives. God's grace empowers us to live godly, amen. And I want to say this, that godliness is two keys. I minister to this quite often. God is the greatest giver in the world. And God is the greatest forgiver in the world. God is the greatest giver in the world, and God is the greatest forgiver in the world. In Romans 8:32, he does not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall we not with him also freely give us all things? This is a passage in the Bible that Paul was inspired to write, that it says God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us. So Jesus was crucified. Why? So that we can have all the blessings of heaven that's afforded to us. Amen. I like this, what it says in Acts 20:35. I have shown you every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, we're called to give. I'm going to encourage you. Maybe you've never given an offering in the offering bucket. You're called to give into the offering bucket. You're called to be a giver. Amen. You're called to sow some seed into the kingdom of God. And the Bible says, if you do that, there's a benefit and a blessing. Amen. He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he says, if you give, it'll be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And you'll be put into your bosom, for the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. If you want the blessings of financial blessings in your life, you got to be a sower. You got to sow seed into the kingdom of God. Amen. And as you sow, you don't work for a living, you work for a giving. Amen. The next greatest thing, and I'm trying to close this down, the greatest aspect of God's nature that we're supposed to be walking in. Number one, we're supposed to be givers. Number two, we're supposed to be forgivers. We need to be forgiving people. In Matthew 26:28, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Amen. So the blood is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness is the centerpiece of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 3:23-24, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So this passage is saying that all of us are sinners and we need the grace of God. And God's grace redeems us from every lawless act. Glory to God. Amen. I love that. You know, the greatest quote that Jesus quoted on the cross was that, now he said seven things. Jesus said seven things on the cross when he was dying for humanity. And one of the greatest things, listen up, one of the greatest things that Jesus said here was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why did he pray that prayer? Because God could hold them in check for crucifying Jesus. What Jesus was saying was, God, forgive every person that has come against me. Forgive them. And when God forgives people, then the grace of God opens up in their lives. What is one of the best prayers you can pray? You can pray that God forgives your kids. That God will, His grace will cover your children. That God would forgive their sins. That God would bring them out of deception and deceit and bring them into truth. That's one of the greatest prayers you can pray. God, forgive them. You know, the priest will give the last rites to people that are dying. And that's not a bad thing. Pray for them and make sure that they're right with God before they go into eternity. But you can pray for people, glory to God. And so we need to walk in the forgiveness of God. Forgiveness releases the debt of that person and allows the grace of God to work in their lives. We must learn to forgive people and not harbor ill will or bitterness towards anybody. Are you holding on to hurts? Are you holding on to pains of people that did things to you? Are you keeping them in? Are you allowing those things to be a root of bitterness in your life? And do they come out at the worst times in your life where you're doing things and saying things and doing things to people that aren't right because you have not let it go? I'm going to say this to you this morning. You need to let some things go. You need to let the hurts and the pains of what people have done to you, you need to let it go and let God. Amen. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. See, grace is in forgiveness. In Colossians 3:12-13, therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If you have a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do the same. Forgiveness is not just a benefit to those that do you wrong. I'm going to say this again. Forgiveness is not just a benefit and allows the grace of God to work in that person's life when you forgive them, but it does something for you. You know, forgiveness does something for you. You know, when you forgive, it does something for you. It says here, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. This is Mark 11, 25 and 26. Forgive them, and the Father in heaven may also forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. Notice this. What is the greatest sin in the Bible? Well, I'd say the two greatest sins. Number one is not receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's probably the greatest sin. Because you're going to go to hell if you don't receive Jesus as Lord. And number two, the greatest sin in the Bible besides not receiving Jesus is the sin of unforgiveness. That's a greater sin than adultery, fornication, sexual sins, all these other sins. The worst sin that we could ever walk in is unforgiveness. That's the worst sin. And that's the only sin that's mentioned in the Bible that God won't forgive you of. Somebody say, let it go. So forgiveness is not just for those that do you wrong. Forgiveness is for yourself. Forgiveness, unforgiveness is like, it's like believing that somebody, it's like drinking poison and hoping your enemy will die. That's unforgiveness. It's you're drinking the poison. Jesus, the day that he was on the cross, did not drink the poison. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In Luke 6:37, judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. If you sow forgiveness, you will reap forgiveness. You need to let go of hurts and slights that people have done against you. You need to let it go. If you don't, it's going to turn into a root of bitterness, and it's going to defile many people all around you. Now I'm going to close out this message with the key to the grace of God. And we see keys that will shut down the grace of God. Sins of the flesh will shut down the grace of God in your life. Unforgiveness will shut down the grace of God in your life. But what's going to cause the grace of God to move in your life? One word: repentance. Repentance will cause the grace of God to come into your life. Peter was talking to the crowd, and he said to the crowd, "You crucified the Lord of glory. You caused him to be crucified, and you crucified the eternal one." And they said, "What must we do to be saved?" as they cried out from the crowd. And Peter said, "Repent. Repent of your sins. Repent. Turn from those things and turn to God." It's time for us to turn away from the things of the world, turn away from the sins of our flesh, and turn to Jesus. We got to let those things go. What's turning around? It's not 360. Some people say it's a 360. No, you go back in the same place. It's a 180. You do a 180. You're not doing a 360. What's a 180? You're going this way, and now you're turning this way. You're going the world's way. You're going the sin way. And no, you turn and go this way. Listen, there is no temptation that is common to man. But every temptation is common. But God, don't tell me you can't help it. I can't help my sin. You can help it. Don't tell me you can't help talking negative about people. You can help it. Why? Because there's no temptation that is common to man. But with every sin, God will always make a way of an escape. In other words, if you just submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. You don't have to enter into sin. You don't have to enter into this losing lifestyle. No, you can walk in righteousness and holiness because it's the grace of God that will empower you to do that. And when you do that every day, Jesus will appear to you and he will say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of your Lord." And I want to hear that every night before I go to bed. "Well done. You did good. You pushed away. You didn't enter into sin. You didn't do the wrong things. You didn't speak against people. You loved on people. You prayed for people. You did the right things. Well done." Glory to God. And I'm telling you, I believe that God is raising up a people in Exceed Life Church that will walk in righteousness, holiness, and walk in the ways of God. And they will shun the things of evil and embrace the goodness of God in their lives. And they will keep their oil filled. And this church will be the rapture-ready church when Jesus comes back. Do you believe it? Did you receive it? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. And I thank you, Father God, that you are raising up a glorious church. And Father, we know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And Father, we know, Lord God, that people are in the valley of decision. And they have decisions to make, whether to walk your way or walk the world's way. And Father, I'm asking that you'd move on their hearts, that your grace would move on their hearts to cause them to repent and turn to you. Perhaps you're here in the audience. You know you've been in areas of sin in your life. It's time to repent. It's time to come back to God. Maybe you're watching online and you know there's areas where you need to repent of. Then you need to let those things go. Maybe there's unforgiveness and you need to pray for those people that did you wrong and release the debt. Wherever you're at in this message, God's grace can set you free. So maybe you're here and you never gave Jesus your heart. You never confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, today is the day of salvation. You may not have another chance. So I want to encourage you to pray this simple prayer and mean in your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.